All right, we're just going to keep playing that video over and over again. How about that? That's all we're going to do. Is that cool? Tough crowd. It's all right. Everybody's still eating turkey. Hey, really quick, I know I'm going to say this again at the end, but you may not know this as we get to set up everything, but Scott Beardsley here is with the Harbor Ministries, correct? The Harbor, correct? And he actually has been helping us out, gosh, since we launched. Just leading worship as we get to build a Vine worship team here and have the Vine worship. And this Sunday is his last week. So if you guys would help me, just say thank you. It's not his last week forever. He's coming back. He said he's just going to make sure I'm not preaching the day he comes back, because he's just like, man, seriously, tough crowd. Man, it just, it's not on, man. We're good. Anyway, thank you, Scott. Thank you. Every week he's been here, and you'll probably see me do that again, but I just wanted to make sure you guys knew that. We're so thankful that he's here. But when I got to talk with Scott, Scott is doing what God's called him to do, and he said, man, I would love to help you get this thing started. So it's just been a blessing to have him here as he's doing what God's calling him to do, and he's stepping deeper into that, so it's been fun. But we know it's not forever goodbye. It's just for a season as he continues to do what God's called him to do. So over these past few weeks, first off, because we got to get everybody fired up, high five three people around you and say first things first. First things first. First things first. I hit the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what happened with me. I did first things first. So over these past 6 weeks, what we've got to talk about is this thing called This Is What We Do, and we've kind of snuck something in there on you. We've been teaching about this thing called the Vine Code, and what it is the filter by which we do everything. So if you come to our Sowers class on Tuesday night, the thing that is so important about that is it's not only about the Vine Code, but it tells you not just where we are as a church, but where God's calling us to. So that's my little teaser. In business world, we call that a little tension, you know, a little nervous tension. So if you haven't got to come to our Sowers class, make sure that you register for that and get signed up for that. But over these past 6 weeks, we've talked about the Vine Code. We talked about Jesus is the center of everything we do. We talked about life change happens best inside of Christian community. We talked about living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. We've gone on to say that we are God's plan for growing his church. And now we're leading up to the fact of the thing I'm going to talk to you about today, and I'm going to get you on the edge of your seat because I can tell everybody's ready to go. But before I do that, I forgot one. It's called We Honor One Another to Glorify God, which wasn't that fun last week when we got to say thank you to everybody? We got to hang out and ride on each other's backs. So we talked behind each other's backs and didn't know it. Wasn't that great? See, it was a good thing that we did that because we honored one another when we did that in a good way. And then this week is the week where I say we are going to talk about what we believe at the Vine Church, and you can't outgive God. So before we go on and talk about the message, I've got some things to go with that. So everybody who's on the edge of your seat know where I'm going. So I want you just to take a deep breath in. Now let it out. Now if I had a balloon, it would be, you know, it would just let the little bit of air out. And I just want you to take the air out, and you know that I'm not going to talk to you about a percentage. I'm not going to talk to you about a number. I'm not going to beat you over the head about this. But I am going to tell you today, we're going to talk about what we believe at the Vine Church. We believe you can't outgive God. You're going to learn some things about the Vine Church you may not already know, and you're going to learn some things about me you may not know pertaining to the Vine Church. Okay? So deal? We can do that? Awesome. We can do that. The EFAM that's online right now, I hope you're high-fiving someone and you see it. And you can hear me. If not, it's all right. Just read my lips. It's good stuff. You're missing out if you're not here. So hopefully we can see you here next week. So as we're getting ready, Joel nailed it earlier. We are preparing for this thing called the Heart for the House Sewing Day. And that is coming up on December the 10th. So what we want to do as a church is we want to read a Bible plan together. It's a 7-day plan. Starting today, we're asking everyone to read this plan. It's free on the Bible app. Now, you will say that it says New York City, and we all know that we're not in New York City. But this Heart for the House offering that we use, it actually comes from Hillsong Church, and they call it a Heart for the House, but we call it a Sewing Day. So it's called the Heart for the House Sewing Day, like what we did there. So if you will read this Bible plan, I think we've had some folks reading it with us. It might take 5 minutes a day. For those that have been reading it with us, maybe 7-10 minutes max. So if you would like the link to that, or if you just look for this picture on the YouVersion app, your free Bible app, then you can read that with us over the next 7 days as God prepares you for what he would have you give. You know, if you want to give a dollar, and that's what God's calling you to give. Read this. It'll prepare your heart for a dollar and tell you what we're doing there. So whatever God's calling you to give, we want to prepare you well. But I personally believe in all of us reading the Bible together. There's just something about it. There's something about us doing that throughout the week. Even if it's not at the same time, we're all on the same page, and we can all be spoken to by the Spirit on the same thing at the same time. It's really cool how that works. So if you would like some information on that link, just hit up hello@thevine.tv. You can reach out to me if you don't have my email address. It's tylerwest@thevine.tv. I would love to hang out with you. Or my phone number hasn't changed in 15 years. It's 864-706-9634. Hit me a text, and we'll see what we can do to get this plan read together. So now that I've laid the ground rules, now that you know what's happening, you know today is about money. So it's a tense subject. We've already taken a deep breath. We're talking about you can outgive God. So as we get ready, I want you just to be ready for the great theologian quote. This guy, he went through fire. He went through smoke. I mean, he was fast at everything he did. Like, he didn't stop. So this great theologian's name is Ricky Bobby. And he said, if you ain't first, you're last. So today I want you to hang on to this. As he caught on fire, he was fast. He went through the fire. You were ready. You thought I had something really cool there. That's good. Ricky Bobby said, if you ain't first, you're last. And if I ruin that, I'm sorry. But I want us to hang on to that quote today as we get to dive into God's Word and talk about you can't outgive God. So if you have your Bible today, we're going to be in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. So you can thumb there, turn there, whatever you have on your phone. If you don't have your Bible with you, we'll have the verses on screen. But we're going to talk in Exodus 13, and we're going to talk about this thing about if you ain't first, you're last, and connect it to you can't outgive God. So as you're getting there, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 13 is chapter 13. We're only going to be in a few verses. You're going to hear me talk a lot today. I had a Red Bull, so just be ready. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. So I had a Red Bull a little bit earlier, so it's going to be fun. But I just really want us to see the heart behind this Heart for the House Sowing Day and why we believe you can't outgive God at the Vine Church. So Exodus 13, starting in verse 1, we're going to read to verse 400. It's just tough crowd. All right, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip to verse 11 through 13. Verse 1 and 2 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, big word here, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. Then Moses said to the people, I kept going. Verse 11 says this. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. Now, he started in verse 1 and 2 saying the first offspring of every womb. He continues to remind them again, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with the lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Tough verse. Break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. And so the first thing I want to talk to you in the time that we have here, I'm only going to talk to you about 2 points today, but in the time that God's allotted with us, the first thing I want to talk to you about is this idea of sacrificed or redeemed. Sacrificed or redeemed. So we read this scripture and it's like, ooh, that's tough stuff. And if you've been in church, you're going to know where I'm going here, so hang in here with me. Or maybe you've got an idea of where we're going, but I just want your heart to be open for what the Lord has for you. It says the firstborn either is sacrificed or redeemed. And it talks specifically about two animals here. A lamb, and a donkey. Rabbit hole, sidetrack, read it on your own time. But if you want to connect some dots, go to Matthew 21 and see what Jesus rode in on Palm Sunday. What was the animal? A donkey. Just think about this as we talk about this message. It's crazy, crazy how God just lines things up. So just remember that. So God talks about a lamb or a donkey, and it says if you have a lamb, it is the Lord's. If you have a donkey, you are to sacrifice a lamb. So a lamb is considered a clean animal. A lamb is considered pure. A lamb is considered clean. A donkey is called a jack. I'm just kidding, honest. Still a tough crowd. Okay, so a donkey is unclean. A donkey is unclean. It's considered an unclean animal at the time. So for an unclean animal to live, there must be a sacrifice of something clean for it to be redeemed. So what we have to look at when we talk about things in our life is it sacrificed or redeemed when it comes to the first things in our life? And you're going to see where I'm going here. What were we born into? Sin. Does that make us clean or unclean? It makes us unclean, right? For us to be clean, there must be a sacrifice for us to be redeemed. Otherwise, our neck is to be broken like the donkey, and we die. We can't have eternal life. You're going to see where I'm going here. You're going to connect some dots here. Here's what I want to tell you about this thing called sacrificed or redeemed. From the beginning, God is with the Israelites, and he is foreshadowing Jesus coming right here. He's saying that the firstborn must be given. The firstborn must be given. And what was God's firstborn? Jesus. He was a clean, he was the lamb. We say that. He was born clean. He lived the perfect life. He had to die on the cross and be sacrificed for us to be redeemed. Otherwise, we're a donkey with a broke neck and we can't live. How hard is that? Yet so many times we think if that donkey just works harder, if that donkey gives more, if that donkey is just, man, if they just read their Bible all the time, they just work their way up. If that donkey plows three more fields, it's going to get closer to the Lord. And here's the thing, the donkey can't help that it was born a donkey, but it can help to know that it has to accept a sacrifice for it to be redeemed. For each and every one of us today, we have to make that choice. Have we been at a place to where we understand that something had to be sacrificed for us to be redeemed? Or do we just keep living on an unclean life and stay stuck in unclean and say, I'm a donkey, that's just the best it's going to be? So many times in our life, we can get stuck. And if we believe that about our lives, why in the world would we not believe that about our finances? So many times we can think our finances aren't that way because they're mine. They're mine to do with what I want to do with it. It has nothing to do with God. And I want to connect every dot to say, God isn't saying, he isn't saying here, give it back. He isn't saying, give it to me. He's saying, bring it back to me. He's not saying, just give me your firstborn. He's saying, consecrate it before me. It's mine. I gave it to you to begin with. Bring it back to me. And he specifically tells them what to bring back. And he specifically says, if your flock is not redeemed, it's going to be real hard for me to bless it. It's going to be real hard for me to bless it. And so I imagine how hard that can be for us and how hard it can be for me. I mean, I've been there and I'm hearing this story and I'm reading this as I was preparing for this message. And I'm like, Jesus, you want me to share about a donkey that's unclean and a lamb that's clean? I don't know if that's going to live. Maybe I should use like a turkey and some mashed potatoes or something, because we all know about that because we just walked out of that. Like, we know macaroni and cheese is clean, y'all. We already know. So y'all just go and banana pudding. Outside of that, it's unclean. So you got to redeem all the other foods with macaroni and cheese and banana pudding, right? That's just what we have to do. So as we go on, where we are is, if you question who Jesus is at all, I just want you to look at what God's alluding to here. And the sacrifice for you to be redeemed. No matter what you do in your life, it's not about the amount of money you give, it's not the amount of time you serve, it's not about the people that you stand beside. It's about you knowing that something was sacrificed for you to be redeemed. And the question is, will you accept it? Will you accept it? Will you know that something went before you, that you can't help that you were born into sin, but something was sacrificed for you to be redeemed? Something was sacrificed so that you could be blessed? Something was given so that you could have? Or will you just say, it's the best it's going to be? I can't. I'm just a donkey. I'm just a donkey. You're welcome, Shrek fans. I'm just a donkey. Right? I'm just a donkey. And I want to tell you, Jesus wants more for you than that. It doesn't say that the donkey became a lamb after the lamb was sacrificed. It says the donkey was still a donkey. The difference was the donkey was redeemed and could be blessed. And in your finances, it works that way too, guys. If you're not giving to God what he's calling you to give, whatever that may be, your finances can't be blessed. Can't possibly. Does it mean that he can bless them? Absolutely. But you're missing out on the full redeemed life that could be if you're just being obedient to what he's calling you to give. Whether that's a dollar, $10, a quarter, whatever God's calling you to give, I just want you to be obedient. Because I want you to live a life that's redeemed. A life that's redeemed. Let's continue into Exodus 13. We're going to keep rocking and rolling here. We got that turkey comb. I'm going to get us to get up in a minute and do a little dance and a little move so we can get ready. All right, so Exodus 13. We're going to keep going. Verses 14 through 16 says this. In the days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn, remember that, the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem it to my firstborn sons, redeem each of my firstborn sons, excuse me. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. The second thing and the last thing I want to talk to you about today before I just keep rocking on and on is this. The idea of first or leftover. First or leftover. See, God talks specifically to the people of Israel in this time. Bring your firstborn male. Your first. Give me your first. He references this thing called the Passover that if you grew up in church, you probably heard about it. I don't know if you remember, but the Passover was when it says here as well, when Israel was in Egypt, they're about to have the Exodus, which means they moved away. It's the name of the book. That's how it rocks and rolls. They moved away and they had a lamb, right? A Passover lamb. And every firstborn male and every firstborn of the animals were killed unless the blood of the lamb was on the doorpost. A clean thing covered the house. Something redeemed the house, right? Hang in here with me. Redeem the house. The first. God says, I took the first from those people to set you free, and here's all I ask in return. You bring back the first to me so that I can redeem it, so that I can redeem your life. I can redeem your family. You bring back to me the first and watch what I can do, because one day your son is going to ask you, what the heck are you doing? Like I can imagine the story. The son's sitting there. Let's be real. The son's sitting there. He's keeping the books. He's really good at accounting. He knows numbers inside and out. And he's looking, and he calls dad in and says, hey, dad, we got to talk. We got to sit down and talk. I'm going over the books here, and I'm looking at the numbers. And real quick, just so I understand, we're shepherds, right? We are. Check. Okay, we're shepherds. And so do we get paid if things are dead, Dad? Dad says, no, we don't. He's like, well, see, it's just really weird because I'm seeing, like, we've sacrificed, like, 50 lambs this year. And I'm just saying, Dad is cutting into the profit. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are 50 lambs that have been sacrificed. Now, we got 50 donkeys get born, but there's 50 lambs missing. Now, I don't know, But the fur from a donkey, is it fur that's on a donkey? We're going to say yes. The hair of a donkey just doesn't fetch what the wool of the lamb gets. So let me ask you this. Why are we killing all these lambs again? Because you said we're a shepherd, and I'm looking at the books, and I'm saying the lamb cost more than the donkey, but you're killing all these lambs, and I'm confused, Dad. What's going on? And God says, hey, remind your son of this. Remind your son of what happened. Remind your son of what I saved you from. He literally says, look, remember, he looks at his son and is like, hey, son, there's something you probably don't know about us. There was a time our people was in bondage. We were in slavery. But for God's mighty hand, we were set free. He killed all the firstborn of those that held us captive. And all he asked in return for us by his mighty hand is that we can be redeemed by offering our firstborn back to him, by offering our first to him. And I can see the son sitting there saying, yeah, but Dad, I get it, but if we take this little ugly lamb that's got five legs, can we not sacrifice him? I know he's a little mutilated. He's got freckles. Take the lamb who has freckles, who's got spots, because he just doesn't get as much. Why can we not take this blemished lamb? Why do we have to take the unblemished lamb and sacrifice him? Because he would fetch so much more for us. Wouldn't we be in better shape if we had more money? And he says, no. But for God's mighty hand, I was set free, son. What you don't know about your dad is I was once a slave. And if we're honest, that's our story. There was a time when we were slaves to sin. And God sent something to redeem us. His first, not his leftover, not his second, not his iOS 11.1 dot something that don't work no more. Thank you, iPhone, whatever that is. Not his reboot, his first. And not only did he send his first, he sent his clean son who came from a clean womb, who lived a perfect life for each and every one of us. And yet we struggle so hard when it comes to every other area of our life, when it comes to serving, when it comes to finances, when it comes to family. So many times we forget that we've been redeemed because God gave his first and we're not willing to put him first. And here's what I want to tell you, each and every one of us, as I continue to rally on, I promise I'm not going to beat you up here. Here's what I want to tell you. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is first. He may not be first in your life, but there is nothing else that's above God. He is first. He is the Creator. He is the one. And if we don't have him at first in every area of our life, we can't live a life of redeemed. We live a life of leftovers. And I don't know about you, but turkey's great 3 days in a row, but on that fourth day, those leftovers sure do sting, don't they? Aren't we tired of turkey? And I want to tell you, God doesn't want to give you turkey the rest of your life. He wants you to bring back the first to him so that you can be redeemed and have ham, turkey, macaroni, praise Jesus, have everything that he wants you to have. And yet we get stuck. Because we don't want to bring back the first. We look at the cost of the 50 lambs instead of seeing the price that was paid for us to be set free. And the thing that stinks about that is, I know the people in this room, maybe we don't struggle with that. Maybe our EFAM, you're watching and you don't struggle with that, but we know folks in our life who do. And the message that we can send them is to be redeemed, you got to bring back the first. So when I talk about this thing called first and leftovers, remember Mr. Ricky Bobby, the great theologian, if you ain't first, you're last. As I look at all of these stories in the Bible, Cain and Abel. We remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn, right? The firstborn of Adam and Eve. And Abel was the second. And Cain worked the land, right? He worked the produce. And Abel had livestock. And so many times we can struggle about this story and say, why did God accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? Well, let me tell you why. If you go back and you read the scripture, it says that Abel brought the first of his flock and the best fats from his flock, and Cain brought an offering. Abel brought his first back. Cain brought an offering. The reason God rejected Cain was he didn't bring his first. He brought his leftovers. It might have been the third time that he worked his crops that he brought to God, but God calls us to bring the first. What does that mean? Does that mean if I go and I have to pay my rent on the first and I didn't tithe to the church or I didn't give an offering or I didn't give what God called me to give to the church that I'm cursed? Absolutely not. Because it's not about the dollar amount. It's about your heart. If you know that you're going to give to the church, and maybe you did pay your rent before you paid what God called you to give to the church because you wanted to wait till Sunday and the first was on Friday, God knows your heart. He just wants to know that you're putting him first in it. And yet so many times we complicate it and think, oh, I missed it, so I'll catch it up next time, or I'll go get it next time. But he knows your heart. Why would you not want to be obedient to the very God of the universe, what he's calling you to do? Yet so many times we can stay stuck. So we've beat up Cain and Abel. Why don't we talk about this city called Jericho, the first city that the Israelites walked into? God said this, bring everything, all the silver and gold, bring everything back to me from the first city. It all comes to me. Then you can go deeper in the promised land. And if you know the story, this guy named Achan, not the rapper, this guy named Achan, if you get it, you get it, sorry. This guy named Achan, he stole. He buried some treasure. And it cursed Israel. They could not go farther into the promised land, farther into God's promise, farther into God's blessing, because they didn't give the first back. And God said, no, for it to redeem, you have to make sure, for it to be redeemed, I have to have the first. I have to have the first. And so Jericho was the first. So when we look at the Israelite story, Jericho was the lamb, and Israel was the donkeys, like us. And it was first, it was to be brought back to God so that they could experience the other 11 cities that they got to go into in the promised land. You're going to connect the dots here in a minute. We've talked about Jesus, and here's what I want you to look at when it comes to money, because it's really hard. We've talked about Jesus, and I want you to see that Jesus was God's tithe for each and every one of us. It was God's first. He gave his first. Why would we want to do anything different? And it's hard. He just wants to know your heart. I'm not here telling you about a dollar. I don't care about a percentage. I'm not going to lie. It matters to me not what the percentage is. I'm not going to beat you up about that because I don't really care. I'm going to tell you in a minute what I believe, and I'm going to tell you in a minute how I live. But that's because that's what God's called me to do. All I'm saying is right now, have your heart open for what God's calling you to do and be obedient to it. Because he's already given his tithe. He's brought his first. So we can bring ours back to him because it was his to begin with. All right? So here we go. Here we go. Money, tough subject. tough subject, right? So here's what I want to tell you about you can't outgive God, because I want to definitely unpack some things about the Vine Church that you may not know, and some things about Tyler West that you may not know, okay? So the first thing about the Vine Church is this. See, we believe you can't outgive God so much that 10% of the tithes and offerings received every month goes to a local church around the world. It's a big sentence, so we'll take it in and we'll unpack it. So of all the tithes and offerings that are brought in, 10% goes back to the local church around the world. So far, we've got to support 4 local churches. 3 of them are in our backyard. 1 is across the country. And we're looking to be able to give back 3 more before the year's out. That is how faithful God has been, because we are giving our first back to him. We believe the local church is the hope of the world. If the local church was thriving, the local church was exciting, the local church was a place where everybody wanted to be a part of, instead of Black Friday sale. Imagine how crazy that would be if our doors were like a Black Friday sale every week. How fun would that be? We'd only have 2 people trampled. It'd be great. Tough crowd still. So that's what I dream of church being. That exciting. That people are banging down the door to get in. And I want to tell you, people are. They're just waiting for you to ask them. It's that simple. They're waiting for you to ask them how they're doing. They're waiting for you to ask them, hey, come be a part of something bigger. Come be a part of something. I know it may sound weird because it's church, but just come hang out. Hey, just see what it's about. And then maybe we'll go to Krispy Kreme after. I don't know. Maybe we'll go have some fun after. Like, let's just go be a part of what it's about, right? And so what I want to tell you is 10%. So what that means is if $10,000 comes in, $1,000 goes out to a local church. Now, we're not just randomly going out there picking people. We, as the pastoral advisory team, we all 5 pray over this. We ask God what churches he would have us give to, and we go and give. Now, this is a no-strings-attached gift. We're not telling them, hey, this $1,000 goes to your building fund, your speaker fund, this $1,000 goes to your vacation, this $1,000 goes to this or that. It's $1,000, if that's the case. If it's $10,000 and we give $1,000, no strings attached, because we're just being obedient to what God's called them to do. We expect them to be obedient to what God's telling them to do with it. That's not our job to police them. So I want to tell you, at the Vine Church, we believe you can outgive God so much that 10% goes out. We clicking? Thumbs up. We're good. I see thumbs up. I see nods. We're good. EFAM, I'm waving at you. I just wave my hands in the air like I just don't care. That's just how we roll. We got you. The next thing we believe is we believe you can outgive God so much that 5% of the tithes and offerings, so hang in here with me, 5% of tithes and offerings received go to a gospel-centered nonprofit around the world. What does that mean? That means a nonprofit that is centered in the gospel. So you've heard of some of these ministries, like one of our very own, Alex Hamby, is part of Hope Rising Ministries. You're going to hear Trey Williams next week from Hope Rising Ministries. It's a gospel-centered organization. The Harbor is a gospel-centered organization that goes and spreads the gospel around the world. Billy Graham, Evangelistic Ministries, is a gospel-centered nonprofit ministry. So 5% of the tithes and offerings received goes out to nonprofits. So if you're clicking with me, we believe you cannot give God so much, 15% of what's given to us goes straight out every month. The Vine Church writes a check every month, and it goes out. Because we know that God can do more with 85% of what he's given us if we're obedient than the 100% we think we have to keep. God's going to be more faithful with that 85% than that 100% that we want to hoard and say, oh man, I could get this, I could get that, ooh, ooh, like I could get all these 17 things, like, because we've got the money for it. And God says, oh, hold on. It's not your money. This isn't your money. This is my house. And if there's nothing that we do is build his house, then it's all worthwhile. So that's what we do. We give 15% away every month. And it's not to beat our chest. It's not to say we're great. We're just being obedient to what God's called us to do. That's it. This isn't a personal thing where you think, oh gosh, I got to give 15% to go to this church. Absolutely not. You give what God's called you to give. If that's a penny, the widows might win a lot farther than everybody else who tithed a tenth of their spices, a tenth of everything else they did. Jesus called out the Pharisees for believing that only their tithes and offerings is what was going to get them into heaven. That's not what we're called about. Obedience, faith, that's what's going to get you into heaven. So you step out it with faith and obedience to what God's calling you to give and watch what he does with it. And that's all that we're doing. So, big deep breath. Everybody go with me. We're good. Okay, good. I was going to do a yoga pose, and that would have been bad. So, for me, something you got to know about me in the Vine Church. So, I want you to know I'm smoking what I'm selling. I'm all in at this church. I want you to know I believed in this church when a whisper would have felt like a crushed dream. Like, it was so scary that the Vine Church was like, God, are you sure you've got the right guy to do that? Like, I know that I'm not... Are you sure? Like, you crazy. Like, there was some in that Nana pudding I had ate. Don't lie to me, Jesus. I know what happened. That macaroni and cheese had some bad milk. I know what had happened. But he just kept pressing in. Be obedient to what I've called you to do. And watch what I do. And what I want to tell you, before I get into all of this, I just want to tell you this, and I want you to hang on to this if you don't learn anything about me. This is not about me telling you a number. It's about me living a life that says, God, I'm living a life with you as my foundation alone, and we're going to build on that. And that's the only reason I do what I do. It's not about the number. It's about me saying, God, you are the foundation that my life is built on. Nothing else. And if you're calling me to do something, I'm not going to rock my foundation. I'm going to stand firm on it, and we're going to be built on the saints that have gone before me and be part of the saints that will go after me. My life will be built on a foundation of Christ. And it calls me to bring my first, and it calls me to live a life that's redeemed by understanding something was sacrificed for me. So the thing you don't know about me at the Vine Church is I'm all in. I believe you can't outgive God so much that I don't get paid. How cool is that? I get to be a realtor. God has allowed me to be like the Apostle Paul. I'm not the Apostle. Don't think I'm going to write letters, y'all. I'm sorry. That ain't going to be pretty. But I get to live a life like the Apostle Paul, who built tents to provide for me and see that that's a mission field for me to reach people that I couldn't just reach in church world, to touch people's lives that I would never get to see if they just hear this, comma, pastor on my life. But when they see, comma, realtor registered, they will come call me to help them. They will let me be a part of their journey. And I'm telling you, I believe in it so much, I will never take a salary at the Vine Church. It's what God's called me to do. Now, does that mean we don't have a staff one day? We will absolutely have a staff one day, and I will tell you about our staff. Our staff will be well paid, because the worst thing that happens in ministry is a staff that's sold out to ministry but don't know where their next meal is coming from. They're worried about feeding their family, and that you can't live a life and do ministry from that. It's impossible. So I want to be the church that says Google is not the best place to work, but the local church is the best place to work, not just the Vine Church, the local church around the world, because we're setting up and doing something different. And I smoke what I sell. So if you ever question if I'm all in, you'll see me here. You'll see me loading in. You'll see me loading out. You'll see me working on sermons. You'll see me doing life with you the best that I know how, asking people to come be a part. Because I believe if I bring my first back to God, he'll redeem it. But if I give him my leftovers, I'm missing out. So as your pastor, as I, for some ungodly reason, got to be the founder, and I get to be the lead pastor of this church, I want to tell you I'm all in. I'm all in. When it comes to a number, I'm all in, but it's not about the number. It's about the foundation that my life is built on, and that is saying, God, you alone are my foundation, and I don't always know how ends are going to meet, but I know that he'll provide, and he always has. Somehow, some way, even at the last minute, he has. But one thing that I love what I get to do is I get to lock arms with you and say, I understand the struggle. I know what it's like to have a busy schedule. I know what it's like to work two jobs. I do. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have a struggle. I know what it's like to be there. But the beauty is I can talk to you about that and not sit in my office and wait for you to come to me. I get to stand side by side, shoulder in shoulder, locking arms with you to go reach a city that is banging down the doors to get in here if we just open it for them, if we just invite them, if we just say, hey, let's go do something. Let's go sit in some cool brown chairs on a tarp in this really cool gym and hang out with these people. The pastor's a little crazy. He don't know what he's doing sometimes. Sometimes he's a little out there, but he gets there. He'll bring you back in eventually. He gets some guest speakers. They get it knocked out. They get it knocked out. But, you know, every now and then we let that guy get up there and preach. If we just do that. And how do we do that? We understand that something was sacrificed for us to be redeemed. And we bring our first. So, just because I don't take a salary, that doesn't mean that I don't tithe or give an offering to the church. I absolutely do that. I absolutely do that. If you look at what I get to give, which is crazy, I get to give more than 15%. It's not about a number. It's about Christ being the foundation. And it's only by his grace that I can. It's only by his grace. It's only by his sacrifice. The last thing I forgot to tell you about the Vine Church that you might be shocked to hear, because it does involve me not taking a salary. We're not part of a church planners network. We didn't get seed money. This is a God-called church, not a we need you to plan a church somewhere. So we have been blessed that the generous sowers at the Vine Church have given from the beginning. The only reason we get to see and have all of this and get to do what we get to do is because of your generosity. Almost took it. Your generosity. Your generosity. Not because some network gave us money. Not because somebody said, I'm going to give you $100,000 to go do this. Nope. It's people praying to God and saying, what would you have me do? And they've given. They've absolutely given. You have given. And I want you to know how we make a difference is there are people out there that God's calling to start churches that think that they have to be part of a network. They think they have to have a pastor that went to seminary. They think they have to have a pastor that has it all together. And they think they have to have 300 people by the time the doors open every week. And we get to say, no, we live a life where Christ is the foundation and this is built on him alone. That's what we get to do that's different. So I want to tell you, as you're preparing your heart for what God would have you for this offering that's coming up, this Heart for the House sowing day, keep that in perspective. Keep that in perspective. Just do what God's calling you to do. If he calls you to give a dollar, don't be ashamed. Don't think about a number. Think about saying this, God, you're my foundation. And if you're calling me to do it, what else can I do? As I wrap up here and we get ready, I just want to tell you where we are is as I was getting ready for this story, I heard and I told you about the story of the rancher and I told you about, hey, aren't we shepherds, God? And it made me think, one day, God willing, I'll have a son. And one day, we're going to sit down, I'm going to teach him how to do the books. I can do the books. I'm good at the books. I can do the books. That's where I rock and roll. When it comes to the books, I can make it balance. It's what I'm good at. It's what I'm gifted at. It's business. And one day, my son's going to see a tithe check come out. And he's going to see me writing out everything, figuring out, and he's going to see me set it aside. And then he's going to see this offering check come out. And I imagine in my own little dream world, he's going to be like, Dad, what? You're giving that to the church? What is wrong with you? You're giving that much? I just asked for a PS-12, probably is what it'll be called by then, a PS-12. And like, you're giving more than that to the church? Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm going to get to sit him down, and I'm going to say, son, there's something you don't know about your dad. You see, one day I was a slave to sin. I had no hope of getting out. There was nothing I could do the chains around my neck in that sin, I couldn't rid myself of it. I felt doomed, hopeless, felt like I had no way to get out. There was nothing that could be done. But by God's mighty hand, he delivered me. And the reason that I get to give this today is because he first gave. And so what I want you to know is I want you to be able to say that you live a redeemed life, that you've trusted God and the gift that he's given. It's so simple. It's the most quoted verse of all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Have you accepted that gift today? There's nothing that you can do to earn it. All you have to do is receive it. It's that simple. That simple. And so today, I would rather you leave here knowing that you know that you know that you've received that free gift than to walk out living a life of leftovers. Because eventually, leftovers ain't good enough, are they? God gave his first so that you could be redeemed. So as we get ready to pray, I'm just going to ask every head to bow and every eye to close. And we're going to pray this out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to the Lord in faith for the first time. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me this prayer. And it's this. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sin on the cross. But love me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have life. I receive your gift of freedom today. By faith, come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time, for the first time you can say that you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you're receiving something, you're not working toward it, you have faith that he is who he says he is, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to lift your hand up. Nobody's looking, it's just me. If you look up right now, you just see me looking at you, because I want to celebrate with you if that's you. So I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you, don't delay. God gave his first so that you could be redeemed. So here's your moment. Here is your chance. One, two, three. If that's you, get them up. Awesome. And maybe that's not you today, but you struggle with this thing that says you can't outgive God, and you need to talk to somebody about it. I will be at the bleachers at the back, and I'm going to pray for you. And if you just need somebody to talk with you today about that, I would ask that you come talk to me. So I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to sing, and then we're going to go about our day and have an awesome day. So dear Jesus, I ask that whatever you would have us do in your name, we would be bold enough to do it. If we need help, Jesus, let us not be prideful. You were never prideful. You just gave your first so that each and every one of us could have the freedom to live a redeemed life. So let us step into that. Let us walk into that today. And as we close out the message, let us worship our faces off because you are who you say you are. Let us not give you our leftovers in this last song. Let us give you the first. Let us redeem this time together for your name and for your glory. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.